Okay, so several months ago on Facebook, I asked for two random numbers. One would constitute a random season of The Simpsons, and the second would constitute a random episode from The Simpsons. The results of that yielded Season 13, Episode 9, Jaws Wired Shut. Not exactly considered to be a classic episode of The Simpsons, but episode I thought was okay. And so that's why it's featured here on this edition of...
Everything is fantastic!
Alright, hello again everyone, welcome to another episode of Everything is Fantastic, the podcast where I talk about things I enjoy watching. I'm your host, Chris McGinnis, and once again we're looking at The Simpsons. As I said, it's Season 13, Episode 9, Jaws Wired Shut. Brief synopsis of the episode: after Homer accidentally breaks his jaw, he becomes a whole different person, which Marge fears will disappear after he's healed up. I remember I saw this episode when it first aired back when I was in college, and I haven't seen it since then, but thanks to the existence of Simpsons World, I was able to revisit it. So, without further ado, here we go. There's no chalkboard gag to begin the episode. I guess the episode must have been running long. The couch gag is the screen goes black and white like an old silent film. Homer enters dressed as Charlie Chaplin's little tramp character, and the rest of the family fills in on the couch behind him, and he joins them at the end. The episode begins with Homer paging through a copy of Pi Times magazine. He gets to the centerfold where they're showing the filling now, but then is distracted by hearing Are You Ready for This by 2 Unlimited playing. Trust me, you know the song. Homer heads to the sidewalk in front of the house to see the rest of the family already standing there, Maggie holding a pink triangle balloon. Homer begins to take in everything he's seeing. Rainbows, tank tops, empowerment, and realizes that it's the gay pride parade. A gay couple walks by holding hands, chanting, We're here! We're queer! Get used to it! Lisa replies that they are used to it since the parade passes by every year. One of the men calls her a spoil sport for pointing this out. A barrage of floats pass by, including the Gay Steelworkers of America, the Velvet Mafia, a salute to safe sex with has guys in hazmat suits dancing around and then shaking hands, and a float dedicated to staying in the closet. You don't see who's hiding inside the closet doors on the float, but by the voices you can tell that it's Smithers and Marge's sister Patty. Marge asks if it would be great if that man and woman got together, completely missing the point. The Lesbians of the Caribbean float passes, featuring some rather butch-looking women chasing more feminine-looking ones around palm trees as they sing, Yo-ho, yo-ho, it's an alternative lifestyle to me. A float dedicated to brunch goes by, and Lisa encourages Maggie to wave to brunch. This is followed by a float called Fab Abs, featuring a group of buff men working out. Homer complains that everyone has a six-pack except for him. He has a keg. He lifts his shirt to show off his belly, and a passing gay man tells him to cover up. The final group to pass is the Gay Dog Alliance, which includes a bulldog wearing what could only be described as a doggy leather daddy outfit. Seeing this, Maggie rubs her eyes in disbelief, then chucks her bottle away, wondering if someone maybe spiked her milk. Santa's Little Helper seems intrigued by some of the dogs in the group, and Homer says that they're out of there, dragging Santa's Little Helper with them into the house. We then cut to the Springfield Googleplex, where movies such as The Final Chapter, A New Beginning, and Chocolate 2, The Vanilla Ing are playing. Homer gets the family tickets to see Shenanigans. Lisa wonders why the movie is rated PG-13, and Marge says it's because it may contain brief rudeness, adult explosions, and scenes with Gary Shandling. Bart and Lisa shudder in horror. In the theater, an anti-cell phone, itchy and scratchy PSA calls To Kill a Talking Bird plays. Bart and Lisa are entertained, while Homer just wants the movie to start. Instead, he has to sit through the trailers. First, a movie starring Ed O'Neill called Soccer Mummy. As you may guess, it's about a mummy that plays soccer. The trailer ends with a joke about the mummy getting a boner and ripping through his wrapping. Homer laughs, but says that it's a laugh of impatience and yells, Show the movie! Instead, another trailer begins to start. We cut to the outside of the movie theater and the words several minutes later. Back inside, Homer's rocking back and forth in the seat, chanting so many previews as a mantra of madness. Suddenly, a voice says, And now, our feature presentation, and Homer's overjoyed. Until it's revealed that this is just the start of an ad for Movie Call, a phone service that gives movie showtimes. Homer can't take it anymore and runs up to the screen, hitting it in rage and begins to chant, Start the movie. The crowd joins in. An usher runs up to the concession stand as the crowd grows restless. One of the other ushers says, if we wanted to live forever, we wouldn't have become ushers, and unlocks a case containing a giant Kit Kat bar. He breaks off a piece for each usher, and they head into the theater. Inside the theater, Homer is still raging and chanting, "Stop the madness! Start the movie!" Lisa asks if they should try to calm him down, but Bart prefers to egg his dad on. Marge tells Homer that he's going to get in trouble as the ushers enter. Homer says he's not afraid. What are the ushers going to do? Advance on him? They do just that, and Homer runs out of the theater with the ushers in hot pursuit. We cut to Mayor Quimby at a ceremony dedicating a statue of boxer Dredrick Tatum for, quote, helping to KO litter in the community. Tatum steps up to the microphone and delivers this moving speech. Litter is my most treacherous foe. I would like to eat its children. So poignant. On the other side of the street, Homer and the ushers run by. Homer crosses the street, evading the ushers, but as he yells back at them to taunt them, he doesn't realize he's run up onto the platform and runs face-first into the outstretched glove of the Tatum statue. Homer collapses to the ground, complaining about his mouth, which is now in pain. Tatum pats the statue on the shoulder, saying, "Good bout, now we go party." Homer moans in pain on the ground, and we get our first act break. Back from break, Dr. Hibbert is holding up an x-ray of Homer's head. The diagnosis? A broken jaw. Homer's jaw's been wired shut. There's the episode title, and Hibbert tells Marge that Homer won't be able to talk for a while. He gives her a pamphlet that will explain everything, called So Your Life is Ruined. Marge sees that Homer won't be able to eat solid foods, knowing that those are his favorites. Homer's horrified at the news and runs over to a nearby device that is labeled Suicide Machine. Marge tries to stop Homer from trying to use it, but Dr. Hibbert tells Marge to not worry, because on a man Homer's size, all the chemicals would do is provide him with sexual release. Homer ties himself and injects himself, moaning in bliss. Ew. Cut to Homer lying on the couch at home. A plate with a steak on it is perched on his stomach. He cuts a piece and tries to eat it, which is impossible as his jaw is wired shut. Trying to find a way around this, Homer ends up inhaling it through his nose. Not a wise move, as Homer nearly loses consciousness. Bart walks up and says to Homer that he's planning on creating a human yo-yo, and if Homer doesn't want this to happen, to clearly say no. Homer's response is a very muffled no, and Bart chooses to interpret this as Homer having no objections, and so he and Milhouse go off to imitate the TV show Jackass. To quote Milhouse, "All those disclaimers made me want to do it even more." We cut to Moe's, where Homer's drinking a Duff through a straw as Lenny and Carl watch him. Just then, "Oh Yeah" by Yellow starts to play, and Duffman walks in. Lenny says that he read in Newsweek that Duffman had died of liver failure, and Duffman replies that Duffman cannot die, only the actors who play him. Duffman has come to Moe's for the Duff Trivia Challenge, where the winner will receive a lifetime supply of Duff. The question is, what beer, brewed from ancient times, is made from hops and grains? Lenny guesses ancient hop grain juice, which is a good guess, but wrong. Homer tries to guess beer, but his inability to speak proves to be too huge of an obstacle, and time runs out. Duffman reveals that the correct answer was beer and walks off. Nobody wins. Homer is distraught. Cut to the Simpsons house with Homer and Marge in bed. Homer's reading a magazine and Homer's writing on a small chalkboard. She hands it to Marge, who says that she will not make him another spare rib smoothie, and notes that most people who have their jaws wired shut don't usually gain weight. Homer then writes another message asking Marge how her day was. Marge is touched by this and tells Homer about an encounter she had with Ned Flanders that morning, and she dubs Ned a goofy doofy. Homer's inner monologue speaks up. Marge thinks Flanders is annoying too. This marriage just got interesting. Cut to Homer feeding Maggie, who babbles excited baby talk at him. Homer thinks to himself, she's so cute, and leans forward to kiss his daughter. Unfortunately, the end of her pacifier gets stuck in Homer's jaw apparatus, and Homer desperately tries to detach her. He finds another pacifier in her drawer and convinces Maggie to choose that one, thus freeing her. Just then, Lisa walks in angry, and Homer uses his chalkboard to ask her what's wrong. Lisa seems surprised and asks Homer if he really wants to know, to which he replies yes, two different times in response to two different questions, erasing the first yes in order to write the second yes. He's not so bright. Anyway, Lisa describes an incident on the playground involving Ralph Wiggum not playing Foursquare correctly, Foursquare being the playground game and not the smartphone app about locations, and Homer thinks giving Lisa a hug will help. It does, and she thanks him for listening. Cut to Bart and Homer working on the model. It looks pretty good, until it turns out that one half of the model is a plane and the other half is a boat. Bart says they need to coordinate while working on the model. Bart tells Homer they had a substitute teacher named Mrs. Duty, and when everyone in the class looked at him to say something, Bart had come to the realization that he'd become a class clone to everyone, and it sickens him. Homer's surprised to hear that Bart has feelings, and then laughs at the name Mrs. Duty all the same. We cut to Homer sitting on the living room floor as Grandpa Simpson tells a meandering story, as he is wont to do. Grandpa sums things up thusly, "Anyway, long story short, is a phrase whose origins are complicated and rambling." Cut to Marge in the bathroom doing her makeup. Homer walks up and Marge says that the annual Springfield formal event is the next night and they weren't going to go after last year's unpleasantness. And she has the front page of the paper detailing the event framed. I'm going to try to describe it, but it's not going to do much justice. The headline reads, "Local man ruins everything," when we see Homer riding on the back of a donkey which has kicked a large layer cake. Google "local man ruins everything Simpsons" and you'll find a picture, but trust me on this, you owe it yourself to see it. Anyway, Marge thinks that Homer has become so sweet since breaking his jaw that they should be able to go without incident this year. Homer agrees and smiles at Marge. Marge decides to polish Homer's jaw wires for the event, and the sensation makes Homer tap his foot rapidly on the floor like a dog getting scratches or belly rubs. We cut to the formal event. Homer and Marge walk in, dressed to the nines. Marge says that the formal is the only event where you can wear a tiara and not look crazy. Mr. Burns and Smithers walk up and ask how they're enjoying things. Homer writes on his chalkboard, "so hungry." And Burns replies that, "yes, the musicians are from South Hungary. You have a good ear." And gives Homer a large plate full of money as a reward. Man, I wish I had that ability where I could identify musician... and by the type of music they play and someone gives me money for it, that would be awesome. As the evening goes on, Homer continues to impress the other guests by not laughing out loud at the man's rather large googly eye and continually passing up several trays of hors d'oeuvres. One woman even invites the Simpsons to dine with her at Toad Hall, which Marge graciously accepts. Cut to Homer and Marge dancing together to the sounds of the Blue Danube Waltz. Marge says this is the most magical evening she's ever had, and Homer replies, "I'm horny." Marge says she has no idea what Homer just said, but she's sure it was beautiful. Marge says this is the kind of night they thought she could never have, one that is incident-free. Just then we see a donkey near Homer, and the donkey tilts its head in the direction of a large tiered cake. Homer shakes his head no, and the donkey walks off dejected. If you Google the image I told you about earlier, that will explain the payoff of this gag. As Homer and Marge dance, Dr. Hibbert sees them and tells Homer to come by his office tomorrow and he'll remove the jaw wires. Homer will be back to his old self again. Marge gasps in horror at the thought. Hibbert then dances past the Lovejoys and tells the Reverend to stop by for his pec implants on Thursday. Reverend Lovejoy replies, "super," and we get our second act break. Back from break, Dr. Hibbert is snipping the wires on Homer's jaw, finally freeing him from his metallic prison. Hibbert remarks that Homer's breath smells awful and that he'll need to take off his shoes to cover the smell. "Nicely done," says Homer. We cut to Moe's, where Homer is telling Lenny and Carl that since he couldn't talk, he learned to listen and in turn learned so much about his family. You'd be surprised what you hear if you just listen once in a while. Lenny thinks this sounds like a good idea and wants to try it, so the three sit quietly and hear Moe on the phone. Apparently he has called an escort service. But not that kind of escort service, since when they ask where he wants to go and he responds, "Orgasm Town," they hang up on him. Mo awkwardly walks back into the bar, and Homer tells Mo that he was just telling Lenny and Carl how losing power of speech made him a better man. Just then, Lindsay Nagel, now working as a TV producer, appears and tells Homer that he is today's modern enlightened man, the kind that TV producers have been booking since the mid-70s. She asks Homer to appear on her talk show, and Homer agrees. We then cut to the set of Afternoon Yak, a very thinly veiled parody of The View, complete with Barbara Walters, Joy Behar, and Star Joan stand-ins. Marge tells the host that before the accident, Homer would just eat all the time and never listen, but after the accident, he became attentive and took everything she had to heart. Not Barbara Walters says that Marge told her Homer was prone to destructive behaviors before, and they roll a clip of Homer offering up ostrich burgers, first having to kill a live ostrich in order to make the burger. The ostrich fights back, though, and gets the better of Homer. Back on the show, Homer says he's not proud of that clip. Not Joy Behar says the hardest part is not the initial change, but avoiding changing back to old behaviors. Not Barbara Walters asks Homer if he'll promise not to revive his reckless ways. Homer says that the demolition derby is coming up, but Marge begs Homer for no more craziness, for her sake. Homer tells Marge that he will do it for her. In fact, he'll be as dull as Dilbert. Not Barbara Walters is satisfied. Next topic, my son still wets the bed. And we see Luann Van Houten dragging Milhouse in as he yells, "You told me we were going to Red Lobster!" Cut to the Simpsons house. Marge is bringing groceries and notices that everything is clean, just the way she left it. Suddenly she hears Homer yell from the living room, "I'm gonna kill you!" Marge walks in to see nothing happening. Bart says that he and Homer were rehearsing a play and Homer was reading the title. "I'm Gonna Kill You," apparently written by Edward Albee. Marge is relieved, yet somewhat disappointed that nothing is wrong, and she leaves. The rehearsal continues. Homer says, "Professor Van Doren, good to see you." Just as a man dressed as a stereotypical college professor walks into the living room and says, "Ah, rehearsing a play, I see." An odd but good joke. I was entertained by it. Cut to an establishing shot of the Simpson house at night with the words 5 boring weeks later on the screen. Marge is sitting on the couch, lamenting about how dull things have become, noting that the 911 button on their phone is covered with dust. Homer asks Marge if she's coming to bed, and Marge notes that it's only 7:30. Homer decides not to argue with her and heads upstairs. Marge tries to continue to convince herself that this is good, but I think she's having a hard time believing it. In the bedroom, Marge is wide awake, thinking that if someone in the house doesn't do something interesting soon, she'll have to do something. She wonders what, though, and then the wind blows the flyer for the demolition derby from the nightstand into her hand, and she decides to participate. As she leaves, Homer wakes up. He sees that Marge is gone and panics a little bit, but calms down just as long as the demolition derby form is still there. He announces that both his wife and the form are gone, and Homer panics even more now. We see Marge driving into the Springfield Civic Center with the marquee Demolition Derby as seen on Faces of Death 3. Marge drives into the arena and readies herself to participate. The derby begins. She hits the car and then taunts them. She's shocked at her reaction initially, but then decides she's never felt more alive. Suddenly, a car hits her, which sends her spinning, at which point she decides trying to feel alive isn't worth it. A large black truck faces Marge, and she begs them not to hit her. "I'm not like you, people! I'm loved!" The truck drives into her front end several times as Homer and the kids arrive. Lisa tells Homer he has to do something, and he replies that bold moves are no longer his forte. Lisa says that Marge could get hurt, and Homer has no idea what to do. Just then, Bart gets an idea. He calls out to the beer vendor, who tosses him a can of Duff. Bart squeezes the can, and the beer pours into Homer's mouth like something out of a Popeye cartoon. Homer's invigorated and gets ready to save his wife. Back down on the arena floor, Marge sadly notices how many dings are in her car now. We hear Homer yell out, "Quit banging my wife!" Homer rides into the arena on the back of the donkey. The announcer has never seen anything like it in his 6 weeks on the job. Homer valiantly rides in, and the donkey stops from exhaustion. Still in Popeye mode, Homer decides he needs a little fuel for me mule, some gas for me ass, and pulls out a can of Duff for the donkey. The Popeye theme plays, but the donkey falls asleep, having consumed the beer. Homer charges to save Marge, and her arms are wiggling the way olive oils would in the cartoon, as she calls for help. Nice touch. Homer pulls her out of the car just in time before another driver slams into it, destroying the car. Bart is glad to see that Homer saved Marge, and is glad to have the old Homer back. Lisa says she thought Bart liked the new Homer better, but Bart just shrugs it off, saying, "Whatever." Back on the track, Marge says that the family needs a live wire, but it won't be her. Homer tells Marge that she's a good wet blanket, the kind he likes wrapped around him. Marge is touched, and the two walk out together. As they leave, the two play-by-play announcers sum up what happened in the episode using a variety of Demolition Derby announcer cliches, and we roll credits. Okay, so maybe it wasn't a fantastic episode of The Simpsons, but it had some good moments there. I enjoyed it. The Popeye homage at the end was very funny. Plus, as I mentioned earlier, this was the episode that gave us the famous "Local Man Ruins Everything" newspaper front page, so that's gotta be worth something. And so I guess this brings another episode of Everything is Fantastic to a conclusion. Thanks again for listening, as always. I'm going to try to get another podcast episode before the year is up. And very likely it's going to be an episode of This Is Gonna Suck, where I look at the bizarre horror film Zombievers. It's about exactly what you would expect it to be about. So once again, I thank you for listening. Questions, comments, feedback, and so forth can be sent to chrismcg1983 chrismcg1983@gmail.com. That's chrismcg1983@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter. That's @DramaGuyCJM, DramaGuyCJM. Consider rating and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. You can find it under Thoughts Out of Context Productions. I think it's still under there as just maybe Thoughts Out of Context. I'm fairly certain I'm still on iTunes. I haven't checked in a while, but I'm fairly certain I'm still on there. And if I am on there, please consider rating and reviewing. I'd really appreciate it. If you're on Facebook, become a fan of the fan page for the podcast and my, for lack of a better term, production company by looking up Thoughts Out of Context Productions and giving it a like. I appreciate all the support and feedback. And if you wanted to support the show another way, consider becoming my patron over on Patreon. Webpage there is patreon.com/DramaGuyCJM. That's patreon.com/DramaGuyCJM. For those of you who might not know what Patreon is, it's a small crowdfunding source site, sort of like Kickstarter, but on a much smaller, more intimate scale. For signing up to contribute as little as $1 per episode, you become a patron and help support the show. I just recently updated the webpage. I currently have a goal in place, hoping that if I can make at least $15 a month through patron support, I will be able to upgrade my account on Podomatic, which will allow me more storage space and more bandwidth per month, so that means I'll be able to put up potentially more episodes per month, and maybe even longer episodes per month without having to delete older episodes so soon. And for becoming a patron, I will acknowledge you by name at the end of every podcast episode I do, so we've reached that point. Thank you again to Rachel Delecta and Eddie Landis, my current patrons. Plus, this patron reward system is also cumulative. For every $5 that you contribute, you earn a credit towards suggesting something for me to watch for This Is Gonna Suck. So, I've done two already so far, one from Rachel and one from Eddie. Rachel suggested the South African spaghetti western Three Bullets for a Long Gun, and Eddie suggested the cult classic Troll 2, and they still have quite a few credits to use, so hopefully I'll get some more suggestions from them in the new year, and hopefully others out there will decide to become a patron and start earning in credits as well. So, like I said, patreon.com, patreon.com/DramaGuyCJM to sign up. I hope that you'll consider giving it a look and becoming a patron for this podcast. Okay, that is all. I do want to apologize at the moment if my voice seems a little off. I've been fighting a cough or a cold or something for the past week or so. Seems like that's been all I've been doing since November. But, these things happen, and I figured, you know what? I finally have time to record this podcast. If I don't do it now, it'll probably never get done. So here it is. I hope you enjoy it, and I will talk to you later. Bye.